Okay, so one of the things that the Sfarim write a lot about is why does tshuva work? Why should I be able to erase the past or be forgiven? And I'd like to address that topic with you today and try to consider the perspective of the Maharal on that question, which I think is very, very telling. Before we get to the Maharal's actual question, he addresses a very interesting issue. I once saw a study. The study was about New Year's resolutions, and the study found that 95% of New Year's resolutions are not kept. And the authors of the study, it was in a psychology journal, were very troubled by this statistic, because why would it be that people keep on trying to do the same thing if their chances of success are so low? Usually people are rational, and if you know you're almost certainly going to fail at something, you're not going to keep on trying. Imagine a baseball player that's a batting 50, so he's going to try another sport. Why is it that, first of all, the chances of success are so low, but even more surprising, at least for the authors of this study, was why is it that people keep on trying again and again and again and again, even though they know their chances are so unlikely to succeed? And sadly, I think that I could at least tell you about myself. I often think about this around this time of year, because I think many of us probably have the experience of trying to do tshuva and finding ourselves doing tshuva for the same chataim year after year. And so the question is, why doesn't it work? Why do we keep trying? And like we said before, why should tshuva even work in the first place? And the Maharal gives a single answer to all these questions, which I think is very telling. And it relates to figuring out who we really are. You know, it's interesting because a phrase that you hear a lot of these days is be true to yourself. Be true to yourself. And I was wondering, is that a Jewish idea? It's not so new, actually. In Hamlet, one of the characters says, "To thine own self be true." But you always hear it nowadays. Unlock yourself, figure out who you are, listen to yourself, look deeply in yourself, figure out who you are, self-discovery. And the question is, actually, and this is what the Maharal discusses, who am I really? Who am I really? And the reason why this comes up so much during tshuva is because, on the one hand, we're the person who wants to do tshuva. We want to change. And at the same time, we're also the person that keeps on messing up. Let's give an example from that happened to me this morning. Last night, I went to bed very late. Unfortunately, we had some flooding in our basement, so there's lots of work to do. And I set my alarm early for slichos. And you know, when I went to bed, I said, I know I'm really very tired. I'm already tired now, and for sure going to be tired in the morning. But just a couple of days before Rosh Hashanah, I want to really make sure I'm there on time. And I set my alarm early enough to make it on time. And I totally knew I was going to be exhausted in the morning. That wasn't like a surprise. And so, needless to say, the alarm goes off in the morning and I'm exhausted. And now I press snooze. Okay, and then I come a couple of minutes late to slichos. So who's the real me? The person who set the alarm, the person who wants to come to slichos on time, to not be late, or the person who presses Zoom? Who am I? They're both me. But who's the real me? It's interesting that if you look at the Western philosophical tradition, the answer to that question is very straightforward. Different philosophers say it differently, but the essential human being is the rational human being, the one capable of rational reflection. And while a person might have urges and whims and emotions and the like, that's not who they fundamentally are. Fundamentally, they are their rational self. And what's interesting is nowadays, if you ask most secular people, they'll take the exact opposite approach. The true self, they say, lies in those suppressed urges and those unacknowledged emotions. And oftentimes your ability to reflect is just a hindrance in terms of your natural true self-expression. And the truth is that this secular perspective, I think, comes from a very problematic perspective, which is a very materialistic perspective on the universe and on the world and on ourselves. You see, how do we look at those physical desires? How do we look at desires? If you take a secular materialistic approach to the universe, in other words, materialistic, that they deny the existence of the soul. All we are is our body, our brains, our emotions come from our neurons. There's nothing more than our physical body. Our feeling of consciousness is just a perception that's created by the interactions of those neurons in our brain. So if you take that perspective, then yeah, my desire, a person is no more than a sophisticated ape. There's no difference. We're just, you know, we're a little more sophisticated, we're advanced, more evolved, but there's no fundamental difference. And that's why, by the way, this is not today's topic, but it relates to why people who take this approach so vigorously reject the Torah's perspective on something like homosexuality, because they argue that if the Torah demands that a person not follow those instincts, those desires that they have, so their Torah is telling them not to be true to themselves, because they define themselves by these instincts and desires and the like. An animal acts by instinct, and human beings are really just the same. On the other hand, we go back to sort of the traditional Western outlook, which is that we're entirely this rational being. Is that true? Well, then how do we explain all these things that we do that we really regret and we think that are stupid and that we know are stupid and we do them anyway? So if there are these two extremes, I think the Torah's perspective is neither of these two extremes. The Torah doesn't define us by our rational self, and it doesn't define us just by our desires. There's a third option, and it's actually necessary to understand that third option in order to understand what tshuva really is, why it's possible, and also to understand why we keep on messing up again. And we'll see this concept, this yesod, explains many, many very important ideas. So let's take a look at the first source, which is the Maharal. This is from Nesiv HaTshuva, which is part of Nesiv HaOlam, and we'll start from the beginning. I will read the beginning part a little bit more quickly, and then we'll try to explain and elaborate. The Sefer Mishlei, the Maral quotes a pasuk from Mishlei Perk Aleph: Chachmos bechutz tarona berchovos titein kola rosh hamios tikra bebischei sharem beir amareh tomar. And Masai Pesim tehavu pesi, the leitzim latzon chamadu, lahem uksilim yisnu das. So we have Chachma calling out, screaming out in the streets, and saying, you know, you idiots, how long are you going to hate wisdom? Tashuvu l'tochachti, hine abia lachem ruchi, odia divari eschem. So listen to what I have to say. Do tshuva. Listen to my tochacha. Yan karasi vatimainu, natisi adai ve'en makshiv, Tifri'u kol atzasi b'toch achtilo avisim. And then the pasuk continues, but you didn't listen. You didn't listen to my call to tshuva. You didn't change your paths. And therefore, you can't do tshuva. So what do these psukim mean? Shlomo HaMelech, who's this Chachma calling out? It's the Torah calling out. Torah is our means to achieving Chachma. The Lachach Loksiv Chachma Rak Chachmos. The Pasuk says Chachmos. She Chachma Yona, She Nacharya Davar. The Chachma Zosi Bechutz Taronim. And the Maral, Kedarko Bakodesh, the Maral always goes ahead and shows how the details of Agadita, of Midrashim, and in this case, a Pasuk, each and every detail is actually telling us something significant. It's not just a lot of unnecessary details or repetition. So he continues and talks about how to read these Pesukim. So this Chachmas Bachutz Taronik, Lomar Sheh, Mischayev Davar Zeh, Mina Chachma Shel Torah, Al Kol Bnei Adam, V'zehu b'chutz taronet. That's what it means by the chachma calling outside. V'amar b'chavos titim kola, v'atzalomar adavar zeh shu meschayv in haTorah, al tomar shechiv azeh, enu rak l'chachanim gedolim ol. Why does it say b'chavos titim kola? That the Torah, the wisdom, is in the streets. Don't just think that it's only for people in the ivory tower, but it's in the rechovos. It's for everyone to hear. Avachiyav zeh b'rechovos, shesham rabim bnei adam v'yoser, even the regular people, the people that hang out in the marketplaces and the like, that Chachma demands that they change, that they do tshuva. I'm going to skip a little bit, but he continues along these points and explains the psukim about how Chachma calls out and tells us to repent, tells us to change. And skipping to where it's bolded, even if a person were to sin b'mezid, in which case you might have thought that tshuva is impossible. Tshuva is relevant when I made a mistake, but when I intentionally sinned, then tshuva isn't relevant. And the answer is that that's not true. Why? If a person was entirely sichli, if our actions were entirely dictated by our intellect, so then tshuva by definition wouldn't be possible. Why? Because I made a decision and I carried out my decision. I thought about it and I did what I was supposed to do. Ki atshuva bishvil shiyomar chatasi. Tshuva works because a person says, I messed up. U'mischarit almasad, I regret what I did. V'charata shayeches la'adam b'meh she'ein kol ma'isav sichlin. The reason why charata is relevant is because we don't just act using our seichel. Ulekach lo hayah shayach tshuva klal im hayah adam sichli. So if a person was entirely sichli, tshuva would not be shayach. Avo mipnei she'adam eino sichli gamor. Tshuva v'charata shayach bo. But because a person is not sichli entirely, so then tshuva shayach bo. Ulekach haTorah ha'sichlis korei l'chotayim. And therefore, the Torah, which reflects Seichel, is calling out for us to do tshuva. So let's try to explain a little more. Tshuva is all about a person saying, that is not the real me. Who's the real me? I really want to do what's right. And it's true that I did these stupid things in the past, but I regret that, and I feel ashamed. And that doesn't really reflect who I am. And we call out to God, and we say, God, judge me not by those things that I did in the past, but who I really am. because that behavior doesn't reflect who I really am. And that is the yesod of tshuva. Now, that's easier said than done. A person could just say, yeah, I feel bad. That doesn't reflect who I am. And then you go ahead and you just do it again the next day. So that's not a very good argument. But what the Maharal is saying is, at its core, what tshuva is defining ourselves and saying that those actions that we did don't reflect who we really are. You see, the reason why we asked before, why is it that people go ahead and make those New Year's resolutions year after year? Why don't they just accept the fact that these resolutions aren't going to work? Why do they keep on trying again and again and again the same thing? It's because we like to think of ourselves as in control of ourselves. So we like to think of ourselves as sichli. And we don't accept that we're not. So when our seichel says, do better, so then we say, okay, I'm going to do better. But the problem is that simply making that decision is not very effective because we're not purely just that sichli person. We're more than that rational brain. There's more to us than that. And for tshuva to be effective, we have to make sure that we define who we really are. And if tshuva only exists on the level of our brain, so then it won't succeed. That's why, first and foremost, the Rambam writes at the beginning of Hilchos Tshuva that vidui bepeh is essential. In fact, according to the Rambam, the tzivui in the Torah is about vidui. Unlike the Ramban in this week's parsha, there is no mitzvah, there's no tzivui in the Torah of tshuva. Rather, the Torah tells us to express, to say, I'm a sinner, I've done such and such, I feel bad. The first step is to try to concretize it, because as long as it's just a thought, a feeling of remorse or regret or change or the like, then that's going to make no difference, because that's just in the seichel, and it doesn't reflect who we are. So what the Maharal is saying is that, you know, most people are really want to be good. And the reason why they don't succeed is because they're overtaken by desire, emotion, passion. And that's the basis for tshuva. The Maharal continues and says actually a very interesting thing. He says, that's what's meant when Chazal tell us that Paro, after a certain point in time, couldn't do tshuva. Because he was warned the first time, the second time, first plague, second plague, third plague, fourth plague, sixth plague. And he was warned again and again, and he continued along his path. He continued to refuse to allow the Jewish people to go or to submit before God. So what that showed is that his chet was mitzad haseichel. It wasn't just passion or desire, but it was mitzad haseichel. And by definition, tshuva isn't possible when the chet is mitzad haseichel, because tshuva is only possible that when it's not who we are, it's just emotion governing our actions and not our seichel. Usher.
Is that also relevant to the chet of Adam HaRishon in terms of him not being able to do tshuva for the whole chet?
You could definitely go in that direction. That's perhaps. I think I might know what you're suggesting, and maybe we could do a shiur on what exactly the chet of Adam HaRishon is, but that could be one way of looking at it. Yes, Zach.
Yeah, wouldn't doing a sin mezid be besichli? So how would there be tshuva? Oh,
so that's a very interesting point. You know, not entirely. I'll give you a raya from halacha. Right, the halacha is that you have to give someone hasra, and not only that, to be mezid, not only that, but it has to be talkadei dibor, basically. So what do you see? You see that even if it's just 5 seconds later, and not only, let's even add, right? We pass in the chavetz are chasra. So what's chasra about? He knows the halacha. The answer is that the chasra is to show that the person is acting mitzad sichla. So the answer is that yes, mezid is not always mitzad sichli. And that's what Chazal mean when they say, Ein adam chote elam kei nechnas ba ruach shtos. In other words, ruach shtos doesn't mean it's shogeg in the sense that we're acting with intention. Shogeg is, I forget it, Shabbos, I forget it, Tzasser. Here I know it's Shabbos and I know it's Tzasser. But my passion, my emotions, my desires overtake me such that I decide I'm going to do the aveir anyway. So when we think of mazid in the sense of acting with intention, that still might not be our seichel. It's a ruach shtush shenichnas banu. So what the Maral here is really bringing up is a very, very important question, which is who is the real me? Right? We said before that the yesod of the Maral is that the person says that my behavior doesn't reflect who I really am. I really want to do what's right. So who is the real me? Right? To give the mashal that we said before with my getting up this morning, who is the real me? Is the real me the person who wants to wake up, or the person who wants to get a couple more minutes of sleep? Who am I? And that gets us back to that chakira we said at the beginning. You know, are we defined by our seichel? Are we defined by our taivos? Who am I really? So what the Maral is telling us is a very important yesod, which is that we sort of reject, in a certain sense, the two perspectives we said earlier. The perspective that we are our rational self, or that we're just our physical taivos. We are the intersection of those two things. And I think an expression of that is the next source over here, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Sadi Aleph Amud Aleph. The Gemara over here says that Antigonus said to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, the body and the soul can both free themselves from judgment. They could both defend themselves. Why? Because what happens when a person dies? What is death? Death is essentially the separation of the body from the soul. So after death, the body is buried. The soul floating around in Shamayim. The body can defend himself. The body could say, look, ever since the soul left me, I've been dead 6 feet under. So clearly, I should not be held responsible for the averos that I've done, because without the soul animating me, I can't do anything wrong. And the soul also exempts himself. The soul says, look, ever since the body has separated from me, I've done nothing, no averos. I've been floating around in Shemayim. Clearly it's the body. So the body and the soul could both defend themselves. So how could a person be judged? So Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi replies, let me give you a mashal. Let's imagine that there's a human king who owns a beautiful orchard with splendid figs. And he hires two watchmen. One of them is lame, he can't walk, and one of them is blind. And one day, the lame person, the king comes back and he sees all his beautiful figs have been taken. So he turns to the watchman. He said, what happened? So the lame person said, well, you can't blame me, because as you could see, I can't walk. I could not have possibly taken your fruits. And he turns to the blind one and he says, well, you can't blame me because I can't see the fruits. I couldn't find the fruits. So the king places the lame person on the shoulders of the blind person and judges them. Clearly, that's how they got the fruits. And likewise, God reunites the body and the soul and judges them. This is an allusion to the Yom HaDin HaGadol VaNora, which takes place prior to Olam Haba, post Chiyas HaMesim, where the body is restored to the soul and they're judged. We'll talk about what that means in a minute. But the point is that our Averos, you know, where do they come from? Who are we? Why are we being judged? And the answer clearly is we're not just our souls and we're not just our bodies, but rather we're the partnership of both. Our Bechira lies in the fact that there's this extraordinary thing. Mafli lasos, the Torah says, what's the lashon in Asher Yatzar? Mafli lasos, a pella, something extraordinary. What's extraordinary is that the body, which is physical, and the soul, which is spiritual, somehow unite and create that person. And that's the realm, that's the place of Bechira. And this, by the way, explains why Chazal understand that Tchiyas HaMesim is necessary before Olam Haba. Maybe another time we could talk about this more in detail, but there's a very famous position of the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva says that Olam Haba is an entirely spiritual existence. It is not at all physical. Tchiyas HaMesim is a nes. It's going to happen once. People, soul and the body will be reunited. They'll live for a while and they'll die. But when a person dies, they go straight to Olam Haba, hopefully. It's a spiritual existence. And there's no need for a body in Olam Haba. And in fact, it's very strange, actually, what the point of Tchiyas HaMesim would be, according to the Rambam. You're going to pluck a person from Olam Haba and shove him back into this world. Ad kedei kach, that there were those that accused the Rambam of not even believing in Olam Haba. Of course, that's not true. Rambam did believe in Olam Haba. And another time we could talk about why and what purpose Olam Haba has for the Rambam. But Chazal, the Pashtus is held that Olam Haba is post Tchiyas HaMesim. There's a view of many Rishonim, the Ramban, the Rama, most Achronim. I'll just show you one place where you see it in Chazal, but there are many rayos that the Ramban brings that this is correct. One of the rayos that the Ramban brings is the Mishnah Perek HaChelek. The Gemara says that Kol Yisrael Yesh Lom Chelek Olam Haba, but there are some exceptions. One is HaOmer Ein Tchiyas HaMesim in HaTorah. The Gemara asks, why is someone who says that worthy of losing Olam Haba? Hu Kafar Ba Lefika Lo Yelo Chelek Ba. Since he denied Olam Haba, so he has no Chelek in Olam Haba. Now, one second. This guy didn't deny Olam Haba. He denied Tchiyas HaMesim. HaOmer Ein Tchiyas HaMesim in HaTorah Ein Lo Chelek Olam Haba. You see that Tchiyas HaMesim is Olam Haba, or to put it a little more precisely, Tchiyas HaMesim ushers in the period of Olam Haba. It's something that's post-Messianic, after Yemos HaMashiach. But the question is, what about the Rambam's Kasha? The Rambam was aware of this view. When he rejects it, you want to take a look at the next source, the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva Peret Ches Halacha Beis, he writes that clearly there's no guf in Olam Haba. Why? Because Chazal said that what is Olam Haba? Kach amru chachamim rishonim. Ha'olam Haba ein bo lo achila v'lo shtia v'lo tashmish el atzadikim yoshin batrosen v'roshayan v'nenim ezif hashchina. Harei nizbarer l'cha she'en sham guf l'fi she'en sham achil l'shtia. Rambam says, how do I know there's no guf? Because it says lo ochon v'lo shosin. Now why would a Kodesh Baruch Hu, What would there be a need for a guf if there's no achil and shtia? It's just a waste. It's no purpose. So therefore, it must be there's no guf. It must be that Olam Haba is an entirely a spiritual existence. So what would Chazal, what do the Rishonim say back to that? So again, this is a bigger topic. But everybody agrees that Olam Haba is an entirely spiritual existence. Everybody agrees, L'Ochum, L'Shosin, L'Tashim Shamita, that's not debated. The debate is not whether Olam Haba is an entirely spiritual existence, because everybody agrees it's entirely spiritual. Unlike Yemos HaMashiach, which is a more perfected this worldly experience, Olam Haba is a totally spiritual existence. That's why Kol neviim lo nisnav lo l'mosa Mashiach about olam haba in lo rasa lo kibzul asecha, because it's not shayach to our tfisa. Imosa Mashiach is a perfected this worldly experience. It's something we can relate to. It's shayach, something that shayach to nevuah. So the neviim are misnabe about it. Olam haba is something that's totally beyond us. That's why it's not discussed in the Torah explicitly. So if olam haba is entirely a spiritual existence, then why do we need the guf? That's the Rambam's kasha. Take a look at how Rabbeinu Bachya answers it. Ramban says a similar thing. He actually gives two answers, but it's a little more straightforward here in Rabbeinu Bachya. And Rabbeinu Bachya, as you can see over here, says, "Im tiksha v'tomer shiwa kelim levatala." What about these kelim? Why do we need the mouth if we're not going to eat? Why do we need the nose if we're not going to breathe? Einan levatala. Me'achar shehem mekablam haschar v'tainak beguf uv'nefesh yachdav. Kashem sheshtadlu b'kiyam ha-mitzvos v'tarchu b'hem ke'echad b'guf u'v'nefesh. The answer is that we are more than just our neshamos. You see, if all we were was our soul or that rational faculty or whatever it is, then yes, it would make sense that our eternity would be just our soul. But if we're not just our soul, if we are that guf neshama combination, like the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, God restores our guf for our neshama. It's the guf and neshama together that did the mitzvos, and it's the guf and neshama together that should get the schar. Olam haba is where we are rewarded for doing what was right, because so it has to be all of us. Gan Eden is an entirely spiritual existence that is only shayach to the soul, the olam haneshamos. But that's not all of us. So a tzaddik dies, they go to Gan Eden, so that's wonderful. But that's not the whole tzaddik. That's just his neshama. That's why you need olam haba. Take a look at how the Ramchal says this. Next source, same point. Uviyo shegazar ha'adom baruch hu, sheharkava zu shel guf ha'adam minishmasa lo tipared me'olam. Perush, ki pirut ha'misa eno ela davar lefisha atchias ha'meisim. Ach achar kach, tzricha lashuv leguf, v'shneim yiskayim u'yachat lenetzach nitzachim. So, you know, we said before, we asked the shayla, who are we? Who's the true us? Is it just our rational intellect, our soul? Is it just our body, our desires? It's the combination. That's who we are. And that's the idea the Maral says of tshuva. Of tshuva is figuring out, deciding who we are. Are we going to be governed just by our passions? Or are we going to be governed by our seichel? But not that we are the seichel. And this reflects, impacts many, many things. I'll just show you a couple more manifestations of this yesod, and then we'll get back to tshuva. The Maral here in Sefer Tiferes Yisrael, Perek Tes, writes, "Ha-filosofim asher zacharnu lemala, yitnu shem v'tiferes el ha-seichel, v'al yedei ha-muskalos yikneh adam netzchias." The philosophers give total exclusive recognition to the intellect. And it's through the intellectual achievements that a person achieves eternality. So where do mitzvos play? What role are mitzvos, which are physical actions for the most part? Those are like a ladder. Those get you to muskalos. But those aren't muskalos, and those aren't ideal. And therefore, they don't put much value in mitzvos. Mitzvos are at best a hechatimtza. Rather, what's most valuable are muskalos. Because who is the person? And what's going to exist eternally is the seichel, is the neshama, is the soul, whatever you call it. Umizeh sulam naflu, from that ladder, that pedestal that they faced the intellect upon, they fell. And this Maral is a very important chapter. You should look at it. Maybe another time we can get back to it. We'll talk about the goal and the purpose of mitzvos. But the point is that that is not the mahalich of the Torah. The Torah values mitzvos, not just the seichel. Ad kedei kach, that the eternal being that we are includes our physical body. And one interesting additional manifestation of that actually relates to how we look at physical pleasures, like pleasures that come from eating or even tashmish shamita. The Rambam, if you look here at the Igaras HaKodesh, the Igaras HaKodesh is attributed to the Ramban. Maybe it was written by him or a Talmud or the like, but the Igaras HaKodesh is printed in the Kisvei Ramban. And it's a very important piece. It's about Kedusha and Tara, that Shayach in Tashmish Amita, and generally speaking, the Torah's attitude towards Tashmish Amita. And the Igaras HaKodesh blames the influence of Aristotle upon Rambam in terms of his perspective, his negative perspective on Tashmish Amita and sensual in general. The Moreh Nevuchim, you have it over here, quotes Aristotle and says, Aristotle correctly says that this sense, the chush hamishush, is a disgrace for us. And that makes Tashmish Amita something that, you know, you sometimes need to do. It allows you to reproduce. But fundamentally, it's something that's disgraceful. And he writes, this is not correct. Chalila. Ena davar kamosha amar hayivani. Lefisha daita hayivani ye shemetz minus she'eno morgash. Shiloya maimin sha'ola mechudash bekavana, loya omer kach, ze hayivani habliyal. It's interesting. Why is that heretical? Not directly heretical, but it has an aspect of heresy. Because it says, it comes from the Aristotelian perspective that endorses the eternity of matter. God always exists. Matter always existed. So matter isn't something godly. But if you believe in Bria Yesh Me'ayin, so that means everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore there could be Kedusha in everything. So to say that it's just a cherpa is to deny Briyas HaOlam. There's more to say about that, but I want to highlight this in one more way, and then we'll return to tshuva. An amazing thing. There's a stira, if you look at some of the sources, in terms of this question that we asked. The question is who we really are. Right? Again, are we that? Are we our soul, our rational faculty, or are we something else? Are we our bodies, our whims, our desires? The Pasuk in Iyov says, "Or ubasar talbisheni, uvatzamos v'gidim tisochecheni. You skin and flesh, you have clothed me; bones and sinews, you have covered me." So the Arizal was medayik from this pasuk that you see that I am not my body, because the statement "you've covered me in skin and bones," so that shows clearly that the me is not my skin and my bones and my muscles and my sinews, because you've covered me with my body. So obviously my body isn't me. Take a look here at the Shari Kedusha. This is from the Arizal, from Reb Chaim Vital. No del bali hamada, ki guf ha'adam einenu ha'adam atzmo, mitzad ha'guf, ki ze nikra besar ha'adam. What does the Torah, how does the Torah refer to our bodies? Not as us, not as Adam, but as besar ha'adam. Kimosha kasev, the pasuk we just said, or v'asar tal b'sheni, v'atzamoz v'gidim tzilcheni, v'od ksiv, al besar adam lo yisach, the pasuk from Kisisa. The pasuk says that you shall not anoint the oil, the Shemen HaMishcha, on Bisar HaAdam. So obviously, the Bisar HaAdam isn't the Adam. So what is the Adam? Nimsa HaAdam hu HaPnimius. The Adam is the Pnimius Shebo. Aval HaGof hu Inyan Levosh Achad Tislabesh Bo Nefesh HaSichlis Asher Hi HaAdam Atzmo Be'odo Be'olam HaZeh. So what then is the body? The body are the clothing for the true person that the person, as it were, the Adam wears when he's in this world. B'achar p'tira, yufshat me'alav ha'levush hazeh, the levush will separate from the Adam. V'yislabesh b'levush zach v'naki v'luchani, k'ma shakasav asira b'gadim ha'tzawim v'gomer, v'yislabesh osach machalatzos. What's the machalatzos? Who hanikra chaluka d'rabanan. So, okay, great. Makes a lot of sense. Who are we? We're not our bodies. We're our soul. But that's also not true. It's also not the Jewish perspective. Every morning we say, Elokai neshama shenasata bi tahorahi. That neshama that you put in me is tahora. So clearly, the me is not the neshama. Atavir asa, ata yitzarta, ata nefachta bi, ata meshamra bekir bi, you created it, you put it in me, you're going to return it to me. So who is me? Me can't be the neshama, because we're saying you put the neshama in me. And the me can't be the guf, because as we say, the guf is the Bisar HaAdam, but it's not the Adam. So who are we? So the answer is, the way we've been saying it until now is we're the combination. But the way the Sfarim teach us is that there's another aspect to us. We could talk about the nefesh, ruach, and neshama. There might be higher aspects of the soul, the chayim yichida, those are aspects of us that we can't even relate to at all. So we're not going to talk about that. But let's talk about the nefesh, ruach, and neshama, which is something that we can relate to. So the Gaon writes that the Bechira, in a sense, who we are, that's what emerges from from the Ruach. We are not our Nefesh. Our Nefesh is our Nefesh Abahamis. We are not our neshama either. Our neshama is above us. It could influence us. It could impact us. But it's not us either. We are the ruach. That's where we make our decisions. Our decisions are influenced by the nefesh, by our desires, by the neshama, by its predilections. But we are the ruach. You know, let's take a look at the Gra. And then we'll try to explain it a little more. So this is the Gra in this parish to Sefer Yetzira. V'chein ba'adam ha'neshama ne'alemes ma'od. V'ikar chiyuso shal ha'adam hu haruach. So what is the ikar chiyus of a person? It's not the neshama, which is very elevated and above us, but it's the ruach. U adam ha'mekabel schar va'onesh. That is the adam that's mekabel schar va'onesh. Why? Because like we've been saying this whole time, that's where the Bechira takes place, right? We reject those two extremes that says the person is either the rational faculty or their base desires. But we are the Ruach. That's who we are. And that's who's rewarded. And that's who's punished. That's Mekabel Schar V'Onesh. V'Hu Hamargish. V'Hu Kol Kol Chosav V'Hu Shav. V'Aneshamu Aseichel Mevad. Adam das v'hum mazalosho ayin sham. So let's try to explain this a little bit more. There's a very, very excellent essay on this topic. I recommend everyone read it in the Beis Yishai and Drasha Mem Zayin, Shlomo Fisher. He points out that there are three, and I think that whole drasha is basically explaining this maral that we just saw. There are three creations. There's malachim, there are people, there are animals. Animals don't have bechira because of their low state. They have instincts. They have a brain. They make decisions on some level, but it's not bechira. It's not meaningful bechira. There's no concept of right and wrong and choosing. It's just instinct. Malachim also don't have bechira, but that's because they're elevated state, because they're just sichlim nivdalim. It's only people that are murkav from these two kochos, from the nefesh hasichlis, which he shares with the malach, and with the nefesh habahamis, which he shares with the animal, that there is bechira. So like the Maharal said, when a person sins, he generally doesn't sin with his koach hasichli. It's very rare that a person will say, you know, I think that that this, you know, this thing to do, that this ra is the, you know, that's what I should do. No. Even when he's mazed, like we said before. It's actually interesting, Rev Fisher points out, that just like in the Western philosophical tradition, there's the, if you go back to Aristotle, there's the vegetative stole, which is focusing on nutrition and growth and reproduction. There's the sensitive soul, which is capable of emotions. And then there's the rational soul. And you find the same thing in Kabbalah. It's keneged the nefesh, the ruach, and the neshama. And as far as I say, there's even a organ associated with each one, the moach, the lave, and the kaved, the liver. Just like in the body, the head is sort of on top, the heart is in the center of the upper organs, the kaved and the lower organs. The lower organs deal with digestion, with the vegetative soul. Now, first of all, when you see his horses like this, you have to understand what's going on here, right? When Chazal talk about the heart as the seat of emotion, is there a stira to that? Because science teaches us that the heart is just a muscle, an organ that pumps blood. So it's not a kasha. Dibra Torah Kalasha Bnei Adam. And that's sort of where we feel that emotion. It's not telling us something about the organ of the heart. Nobody's going to have a problem if, you know, they succeed in doing a heart transplant. We won't say that, oh, you know, well, this guy is like a new person because he has a different lathe. That's not what they meant. And Rav Fisher actually over there in a very fascinating footnote points out that you know, it's not surprising that so much of the Kabbalistic terminology is associated with Greek science, whether it's Galgalim or Dalet Yesodos or Chomer and Tzura. The Rambam Lamashal in Mar Nevuchim writes that in a Maisa Merkava V'Yechezkel, which he understands as a type of philosophical revelation, so the Galgalim make sounds. And the Rambam writes, even though the Galgalim don't make sounds, but the nevua of a person is according to his perception of the universe. So Yechezkel thought that the Galgalim made sounds. So in his vision of Maisa Merkava, the Galgalim were making sounds. It's not telling you about the truth of that question. Or in the words of the Beis Yosef in the Magid Meisharim, L'fima de'is ber'usa de'barnash hachi mechazian lei. Right? According to the way I think of the world, that's the way God appears to me. So back to our Yisod. So what is the Gain telling us? Who are we? We are the Ruach. We are in that, the interaction between the Guf and the Neshama. And that's why Tshuva is shaykh to us, because if we were just Sichli, Tshuva wouldn't be possible. And if we were just goofy, so then mitzvos aren't even shayach to us. And that's the pshat. And like we said, Elokai neshama shenasata bi, you put the neshama in me, but it's not that me is my body, it's the ruach, it's the interaction. Now let's talk about tshuva. Yes, Asher.
Yeah, just a question in terms of, was there ever filtration down from like this sort of idea of ruach into like the idea of Freud, which was id, ego, and superego, which sounds very similar?
Could be. like we said, you know, these ideas could be said in many different languages. I don't know enough about psychology and Freud to comment, though. So let's return to tshuva. Revolbi and Ali Shor makes a fascinating point. I always find this terrifying. He writes, you know, Chazal tell us, "Bederech she'adam rotzeh leilech molichen oso," which means that if I don't succeed in actually doing tshuva, it doesn't reflect what I really want. Now, on one level of consciousness, clearly that's what I want, right? I'm honestly saying to God, "God, I want to do better. I'm not going to do this again. I feel so bad. It's going to be different this year. This year is going to not be the same." I am honest. But clearly, if he's not succeeding, it's because that doesn't reflect his deepest ratzon. Because if it did, then he would do differently. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would help you. In other words, to put it a little differently, the reason why so many of our decisions aren't carried through is because on an intellectual level, we're convinced, but there are these deeper levels of our psyche that are unaffected, or the way we've been putting it until now is that on an intellectual level, on my mitzad ha-seichel, I've done tshuva mitzad ha-seichel, but I wasn't chote mitzad ha-seichel. The reason why I was chote in the first place isn't like I made this cheshbon and I thought, no chet, that's the way to go. So therefore, if all of my tshuva is just about the decision saying, "Oh, well, no, actually, you know, it doesn't make sense. I changed my mind." That's addressing the problem in the wrong sphere. That's what the Maharal is saying. We have to figure out what the source of our behavior is, who we really are, and address the problem there. So certainly tshuva starts with the will to do better, but it can't stop there, because that's not getting to the heart of the problem. It's not getting to our inner self. It's not getting to our true self. But it's even deeper than that. We talked before at the beginning about, you know, the phrase that you often hear, you know, reveal your true self. Well, is there any basis to that? The Gaon, in a number of places, among them Haderes Eliyahu, Bereishis, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Beis, and Netanya, both use a certain term to describe the neshama, which is very hard to understand. Chelek Elokah Mimal. Chelek Elokah Mimal Mamish. Right? Literally, a piece of divinity. And that comes from the Zayar, Madu Nafach, Medilei Nafach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when the Pasuk says, "Vayipach be'apav nishmas chaim," he blew into us. It's from him, so in a sense, we have a part of him. Now, obviously, this isn't literal. God doesn't breathe. He doesn't have a physical body. There can't be a piece of God in us because God's absolutely one. And this is obviously a very deep concept, so we're not going to really explain it now. But on one level, it means the following. I heard this from Ravan Lapiansky, that our deepest self is something that resonates from Ki'ilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whatever Hashem finds right and good, so too that inner self wants. That's us. It's like the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Gittin, that Kofen Osashi Amarotzani, because his truest self actually does want, and his protests don't reflect who he is. So when he said Rotzani, he actually means it. Our innermost heart of hearts, in a sense, does want to do what's right. It's a chelek elokah mimal. And when we talk about Torah, It's not the pshat that Torah imposes something external upon ourselves. It's actually about discovering our own self, our true self, who we naturally are. We said the neshama isn't us, it's the ruach. But yes, the neshama is part of us. The neshama starts off, as it were, above us. And the avoda is to make it part of us, to make it within us. So when we start off our avodas Hashem, we might think, I'd rather sleep late, but the right thing to do is for me to get up. But as we progress in our avodas Hashem, we'll reach a place where hopefully naturally we'll want to get up and be Oved Hashem and talk to our HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as we've seen, in a sense, that's what Tshuva is all about. It's all about self-discovery, self-realization, and self-actualization. As we said before, it's not easy. Just saying it doesn't really mean very much. Because again, saying it, thinking it, is just thinking it. But that's not where the Aveira took place. So it's a tremendous avoda, and the time is short. It's only a couple days till Yom Hadin. But we should all be zocha to do tshuva shlema, to define ourselves the way we wish to be, to live the life we want to live, to figure out who the real we are is, and to allow that to shine forth. And Be'ezus Hashem, we'll all be zocha to k'sivach sima tova, good givens tior, and siyata d'shmaya. This year, this month, will be a zman where together we can grow, not just in understanding this chelek of Torah, but also allowing what we learn together to impact and affect who we are. Because what we're trying to do in this shir is not just learn machshava like you'd learn anything else. It's not just information we're trying to acquire. But really, more than anything else, we're trying to allow that understanding to impact who we are and define who we are and become better people. And B'ezras Hashem, B'siyata d'shmaya, will be zocha to do that together. A good Givens Tiyar.
Thank you. Good Shabbos.
Thank you.
Quick question. I don't know if I'm first or.
I think Gabe was first.
Okay, thank you.
At least I noticed you first.
I was just wondering. So Rabbi mentioned that. Since we didn't really sin miseichel, you can't really do tshuva by attacking the seichel because it's the wrong place. So it's just, can you define more clearly then what exactly is tshuva? Like what are we supposed to be doing then?
So the goal of tshuva, let's look at the steps of tshuva, right? So first of all, we already noted that the Torah itself tells us it's not just enough to decide you want to do better, but you have to say it. You have to confess. You need vidui. So that act itself, what are we doing in that act? We're not just involving the seichel. That would just be like the decision to do better. But rather, we are including our bodies, our speech. It's actually the basis of ruach, right? It relates to that point also, why it has to be done in the ruach. So we're trying to concretize it. But again, saying something in and of itself is obviously, it's an important start, but it's not sufficient. So we have to make sure that it's not just the seichel, but it's our emotions. So that's why the Rambam talks about shame, remorse, regret. Now, we accomplish that by all sorts of things, by thinking, learning, but the goal is to ultimately change. And that's what we're trying to do here. I don't think that I can write you a checklist of saying this is tshuva. Even the Rambam, after he writes those basic categories, writes kol hamar b'harei zeh meshubach. But it's about figuring out how to do differently that time. And again, the way the Maharal is saying it is, it's about, a large part of it is about figuring out who we really are, why we did what we do, and how we're going to do better. Sort of interesting, you know, the Rambam writes about in Tshuva how a Baal Tshuva, a true Baal Tshuva, is going to, like, very, very harsh words about how he's going to, like, be totally, let me give you the Lashon here. I was recently, you know, sort of taken by this. Rambam writes that Midarkei Atshuva, this is in Perek Beis, Lios Hashav Tzoik Tamid Lefnei Hashem Bivchi Uvetachanunim Voses Taka Kefi Kolcho Umisrachei Karbe Min Adav Shechata Bau Umishan Eshmo Kelomar Shani Acher Ve'eni Oso Ha'ish Sha'as Oso Ha'maisim Umishan Emaisav Kulam Latoko Derech Yishara V'golam Imakomo Shigalos Mechaperes Amon Mipnei Shigoremes Lo Lihikana V'lios Anav Vishva Ruach Bal Yatshuva Darkan Liyoshfelim V'anavim B'yoser. So why does the Rambam have such a, you know, extreme measures that these are part of tshuva? So the answer, I think, is that we really have to change ourselves to learn how to think a different way, to behave a different way. And these activities are meant to sort of affect us on so many levels. So it's not just the decision to do better. If it was just mitzvah seichel, so good, why do I need to go into galus for? But if it's to achieve a profound and fundamental change of who we are at our core, then we need to reach that core. And that involves acting in a way, in a certain way, and creating emotions and the like. So again, there's no guidebook that fits for everybody, but it is a process that's quite demanding if we're going to actually succeed at the deepest and truest level. I don't know if that helps. Tyler.
Hi, Rebbe. I have a quick question with regards to when we compare the angels, humans, and animals. Mm-hmm. We said the angels had no bechira?
No meaningful bechira, yeah.
I mean, but there are times, like I think with the story of Avraham Avinu and, with Lot, getting Lot out of the stone, I think the angel, I forgot the exact.
So there's a shaila about that. The Rishonim address that question. How is it? Because in certain places in Chazal, you do seem to have chatayim associated with angels. What does that mean exactly? Take a look if you want one mar makom on that question. In Rabbeinu Bachya and Os Pesachim, he addresses that. Does seem like angels can make mistakes. The question is that the same thing as bechira between tov and ra? And that's a little bit different. But take a look at Rabbeinu Bachya, he addresses that question. Okay.
Thank you, Rebbe.
Thank you.
Thanks,
have a good Shabbos. I like the palm trees, Ezra.
Yeah, it's Florida.
Yeah. All right. Call to.
Have a good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.